Douglas Crook,
Wednesday,
November 30th, 2011.
Let's begin this evening in the 10th chapter of the book of Proverbs, in verse 18. For those that have the study booklet, we are on page 28. We are considering the subheading of slander and gossip. Now, last week, I cut my Bible study short because I didn't really want to get into this right before Thanksgiving, and so we didn't. But the reality is, this is part of the Word of God, and we make no apologies for that. It may be considered by some a negative topic, but nonetheless, it is the Word of God, and therefore it is ultimately positive. And so we're going to approach it with that understanding that when we fail in this area, which is a negative, that we would apply the grace of God and the instruction of the Word of God, which will lead to positive things. And that's the way we should look at all of these snares that are highlighted for us, that we don't step in them. And if we do step in the snare, and if we are caught in the snare of these activities and attitudes of the flesh, that we'll know how to release ourselves from them, or better yet, to allow the Holy Spirit to release us and to restore us back to a walk of obedience. Before I continue, the ladies' prayer meeting tomorrow morning will be canceled. It sounds like they're pretty sure with this snowstorm that's coming tomorrow. It should start at midnight and snow all day long. So the ladies' prayer meeting in the morning will be canceled. Okay, let's begin then with Proverbs 10 and verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Now, a little bit further on in the study where we'll deal with lying, outright lying. Slander and gossip certainly are closely related to lying. And in this proverb, they're directly connected. But later on, we'll see that lying is simply a willful intent to deceive another. Slander and gossip is not necessarily, though many times it is, but not necessarily a willful intent to deceive. But slander and gossip is to say something that is not true about another, even if you think it's true. If it is something that is repeated that simply is baseless or causeless, then that is slander and that is gossip, whether you intended it to be or not. One of the contemporary paraphrases gives this paraphrase of this same verse. You can hide your hatred by telling lies, but you are a fool to spread lies. Whenever we allow ourselves as Christians, and again, only Christians are able to apply the grace of God to change these things, to do things differently. Only the child of God can truly have victory over the tongue that can be so destructive. Only the Christ in you is that perfect man that can tame the tongue. But as Christians, we need to know we have that power and that potential. But when we allow ourselves as Christians to harbor hatred in our hearts, it will lead to all kinds of sinful and destructive attitudes and behaviors. And slander and gossip are some of those ways. Hatred is the opposite of love. And what is love for the child of God? What's the biblical understanding of love? It is to always have the other person's best interest in mind. And for a child of God, we understand that a person's best interest has to do with their spiritual life, don't we? So first of all, they need to be saved in order to have life. And then for us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we want them to grow spiritually, to be spiritually mature. So everything that we do should be with that in mind. If you love as God intends for us to love, you're going to seek that which edifies your brother and sister in Christ, or someone who's not yet saved, you're going to do what is in their best interest to point them to the reality of saving faith in Jesus Christ. And for us ever to exercise hate in any form is contrary to who we are. We are the children of God, and God is love. Let's go to the New Testament to make sure we're on church doctrine here, because some say, Brother Doug, I wish you'd get out of Proverbs. It's the Old Testament, and you're just bringing us down. Well, let's see what the Apostle of Grace says. Romans 13 and verse 8. These principles are still true in this church dispensation. Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. When we love with this God-given love, then there is no room for us to harbor hatred that would lead to any manifestation, including slander and gossip. Those that hate others, as this proverb tells us, often try to hide their hatred by lying about it. No, I don't dislike them. I'm just telling you the truth. And they know good and well that they're hiding their hatred for individuals. That's often the case. It's not always the case with slander, but many times it is. And this proverb highlights those cases. The only thing that we as Christians should hate are the things that God hates. God doesn't hate any individual, and therefore we shouldn't either. But God hates sin, and there are a number of things that we've already had in our study of Proverbs, and we're going to find out that lying is one of them, by the way, an abomination to the Lord. So God hates some things, and we as his children should imitate our Father, and we should hate them too. But what we have to realize is that hatred itself, do you know the source of that hatred? It's the love of God. Why does God hate sin? Because it keeps men and women from his best. And he wants them to have his best. So he hates sin. So even the hatred of God is established on his love. And it should be for us as well. So the things that we hate, and we should hate what God hates. We should hate sin in our life, the lives of others. But the reason we hate it is because it keeps them from God and his will, and it keeps them from glorifying God. And that's why we dislike it. That's why we hate it. Titus chapter 3. Apart from that godly hatred based on love, hatred for the child of God, for anyone, but especially the child of God, is a complete waste of time, and it's the occupation of fools. Hating anyone, did it ever change anything? Just make you miserable, everybody else. But Titus 3, the apostle of grace, gives us this exhortation. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility, to whom? To all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But saints, we're different now. We've been made new creatures. And so hatred that covers our lying lips that cover our hatred in order to slander someone or to bring them hurt or destruction, it simply does not pertain to us as the children of God. It is a shame for us to participate in those things. Ephesians chapter 4. We've been called to something different. Ephesians 4:25. We'll read through 32. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Do you see how often Paul's teaching echoes the wisdom of the Proverbs? We often think of James as the New Testament Proverbs, and rightfully so, because there are some direct references by James to Proverbs. But these same truths and same principles are echoed over and over again by the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 4:25, therefore putting away, what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's that love being manifested. You say and do what you do and say because you want God's best for those that you affect. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now let's go on to the next proverb in the list, which is found in chapter 11 of Proverbs. The first proverb that we considered there in that list clearly had to do with deliberate slander, lying tongue, motivated by hatred. But as we said, not all slander and gossip has that clear motivation. But nonetheless, we should still steer away from the snare of tale-bearing, gossip, slander. Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, "A tale-bearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter." Now, a talebearer is one who walks about spreading scandal or gossip or simply just revealing other people's business to people that have no business in that business. That is a talebearer. And it's not necessarily that they are trying to hurt someone or that they are trying to destroy someone, but they simply spread little tales about this and that. Sometimes the motive is hatred. Sometimes it's just a way to feel important. I've often dealt with those who just like to tell you, you know, I know something you don't know. And it makes them feel important for people to listen to them. And since they have no real wisdom to offer, they offer what? Gossip. We need to be aware of this danger and avoid it. Now, in contrast to the foolish talebearer, a faithful man or woman doesn't go around telling everything they know to everyone they meet. They conceal a matter. Now, it's important for us to understand. Oh, Brother Doug, you talking about cover-ups? No. When we read about, and we're going to read a couple of times, and we've already had it in our study, but I just want to reemphasize that the thought of concealing a matter in this proverb and in the other proverbs that we've considered, it's not a matter of covering up sin or wrongdoing. That's not what's being praised here as honorable and worthy of God's children. We're not talking about covering up wrongdoing. What we are talking about is the betrayal of someone's confidence. Everybody doesn't need to know everybody else's business. And sometimes we forget that. And again, a lot of different motivations for that, but it doesn't matter what the motive is. It's not what pertains to us. So it's a priceless treasure when you have a friend that you can confide in and know that he or she will not betray your confidence. And it's not that you're covering up something wrong or sin, but simply there's a matter that not everybody needs to know everything. And even when it is an issue of sin, when there is an issue of wrongdoing, there's still, this proverb still applies in the matter of concealing, but not in the sense of putting it under the rug or excusing it or ignoring it. A foolish talebearer will simply tell of everything that happens to someone in order, again, that they might look pretty good. This person is like this. I didn't do that. And it makes them feel better. That's a foolish talebearer, even when sin is the issue. Let's go to 1 Peter 4:8, where we see the New Testament understanding of concealing a matter, even when it involves sin, even when it involves wrongdoing. It's not a cover-up, but it is dealing with it in a way that honors God and brings the least amount of destruction to the body of Christ. And brings healing to the body of Christ. See, a talebearer is motivated by all selfish carnal reasons. A wise person who conceals a matter is motivated by that which honors the Lord and that which edifies the body of Christ. There's a very vast difference. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine your heart on when these matters come up. Let the Holy Spirit examine. What is your motivation? What is it that is driving you to do or not do what you do or don't do in reaction to this situation? 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. There's the true motivation. For love will cover a multitude of sins. There's again a thought of covering, even in this case, wrongdoing. Jump over to James 5, where we have a similar statement. James 5, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, notice the context here. It's not ignoring the sin, not ignoring the error, but turning them back from the error, back to the path of truth and obedience. Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save, deliver a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins. So in these verses, clearly the covering of a matter, the concealing of a matter, is done by, first of all, confronting the wrongdoing. Not ignoring it, not putting it under the rug, but confronting the wrongdoing. And when I say that, guess what's involved? You confront the wrongdoer. Oh, Brother Doug, we shouldn't judge one another. We should just love one another. Well, if you love your brother and they are walking in disobedience to the will of God, if you love that brother or sister, you will confront them if that is the position that God has placed you in. You confront them with a wrongdoing, and then you direct them to repentance and a return to obedience. And if that individual acknowledges their sin and returns to that which is right in the sight of God, forsaking the sin, then you have wisely concealed a matter. But if you just know what this person did and has done, and there is no loving attempt to bring them back to where they should be, then you're nothing more than a talebearer. And it's foolish. And you bring destruction to yourself and to the body of Christ. But Brother Doug, I'm pointing out sin. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? These proverbs are relevant to this church age. We need to practice the wisdom of God in these things. Now, the reality is this as well. There are times when sin needs to be made public. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5. There are times when sin, especially sin that is unrepented of and continues to bring destruction to the body of Christ, for the protection, out of love for the body of Christ, that sin needs to be exposed. There are times even when sin is repented of, but because of the repercussions of the scars of that sin, there are times that even those sins, though they have been repented of, need to be made public in order that they don't continue to bring destruction to the body of Christ. But again, why are they made public? In order simply to embarrass someone? Or is it because you love the body of Christ and you love even the offender and you want them to have a full restoration? This is what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:19 and 20. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Make sure, as we had in our proverb a while back, make sure you fully hear the matter. But if it is clear that there is sin and wrongdoing, especially in the leadership, but this applies to all of God's children, those that are sinning, and the thought is continue to sin and refuse to repent of that sin, you rebuke in the presence of all. Why? That the rest also may fear. So when the sin of others affects others, and especially when there's no repentance, it is wise and appropriate for that sin to be exposed in order that others won't be deceived or harmed by the corruption. So as we look at the balance of Scripture, we understand there's one common denominator. There are different ways in which we deal with situations among God's people. There are different ways, but the one common denominator is always this, the love of God. Love for the will of God, love for the good of God's people, And when that's the motivation, God will, by the Holy Spirit, give direction on what to apply, what to do in each matter, whether simply to bring the individual to repentance in a way of obedience, and then nothing else needs to be said to anyone else. The destruction is contained. The corruption is contained. Everybody doesn't need to know about it. There are times when the corruption is uncontained, and in order to bring it into a place where it can be contained, it needs to be publicized. So those things, when you hear about different things, and I will tell you this, you hear very little about things that need to be dealt with from time to time. Sometimes you do. Please apply on your part, because I certainly, as a pastor, am accountable to apply these truths to how I deal with things in the assembly. But you as a congregation, you as a child of God, have the same responsibility to apply God's instruction along these areas. Proverbs 16 and verse 28 is our next proverb in the list. Proverbs 16 and verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. One of the paraphrases it this way: gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. The pulpit commentary gives this comment: the verb sows means literally sends forth, which may signify one of two things. Either they scatter as seeds, or they hurl as a missile weapon, like a spear. The character intended is the perverse man who, this is what slander and gossip is, a perverse man distorts the truth. Oh, there may be a seed of truth there, but they twist it just a little bit so it sounds better, and so they sound better saying it. They either distort the truth, or they give a wrong impression of the facts, or they attribute evil motives to what otherwise is an innocent expression, such as one occasions quarrels and strife. A whisperer separates best friends. The word whisperer can be translated a chatterer, one who just talks and talks, says everything they know to everybody they know, or a slanderer, one who speaks that which is not true about someone else. It's also translated talebearer. It's all the same word in the Hebrew. Ancient proverb says this: slanderers are Satan's billows to blow up contention. In other words, when there's not necessarily fire there to really have strife and division among friends, someone who's a gossip will be Satan's bellows just to get things stirred up. And once again, we all know the realities of those things. But saints, we should not be ever the instrument of Satan's hands. We are the children of God. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And we are to surrender ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit, that Christ would be manifest in us. James chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18 does echo this. Instead of causing strife among friends, we're to be peacemakers. For some reason, a part of our flesh is we like to take sides in the time when they're in the contentions of others, in the strife of others. We like to be a part of one side or the other. As a child of God, we're to be peacemakers, and we're not to stir up the strife. And James 3:17 and 18 tells us about this heavenly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Now the purity has to do with your motive, because you love God and you love all of God's people. Not just the ones that you feel personally close to, but you love all of God's people. So that wisdom from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There's the opposite of the fool who sows discord, plants the seeds of discord. We are to plant the seeds of peace. And it's an active choice. You can do one or the other. You will be one or the other. Make the choice to be wise. Proverbs 17, verse 9 is our next proverb. Here we have kind of a combination of some of the principles we just considered. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So that this kind of combines the thoughts of our previous proverbs. Those that are truly wise and truly loving will seek to lead others to a life of obedience to the will of God without exposing to unnecessary shame and embarrassment. Now, when God's people fail, when sin is involved, as we had Sunday night, I believe it was, there is a measure of shame involved in the conviction. But it's not God's intention that we walk in shame or guilt or condemnation. And as a child of God, there is no condemnation. But the shame should be quickly thrown at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you return to obedience and a walk of righteousness, and you return to a walk of confidence and rest and boldness. That's where God wants us to be continually. And those that are truly wise and loving will help others to get to that place of boldness and confidence in walking in godliness. The wise and loving, they seek to cultivate peaceful relationships, not to bring strife. But of course, the fool does the exact opposite. The fool loves to spread those seeds of gossip. Doesn't matter whether they're true or false, or if maybe they're just embellished a little bit. You know, how much embellished truth has led to the destruction of individuals and sometimes entire assemblies? Just because the truth was embellished a little bit. A fool takes pleasure in breaking up friendships. We should desire to strengthen them, that Christ would be exalted. The final three proverbs in this list here, under slander and gossip, have to do with how we deal with talebearers. The ones we've looked at so far have to do with us recognizing the sin of gossip and slander, and primarily so we don't fall into that snare, so we don't become a fool, but that we might live wisely. But these final three, they tell us how we should deal with talebearers. Not that we are, but when we come in contact with those and how we associate with those around us that are talebearers, what should we do? And what we'll find out is that the reason that there are so many gossipers is because they have so many willing listeners. It's interesting, just in the news, I think it must have been last night, that one of the big scandal in Britain with the gossip newspapers. One of the reporters was being very honest about his vile approach to writing about things, and he says, you know, it's kind of hypocritical that the public is all upset about this. You know, if the public didn't like what we are writing, they wouldn't buy it. And there's a point there. The guy is a vile individual, but he has a valid point. The reason that gossipers are so popular and so prevalent is because there's a lot of people who like to listen to it with eager ears. So these proverbs tell us this is how we deal with gossip and those who bring such slander. Proverbs 18 and verse 8, we'll read again these final three together. Beginning in Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are like tasty, how do you say that, Sharon? Trifles. I'm sure you've made some, but or maybe Norton, I don't know. Tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Isn't that a good description of the flesh? Even today, you know, this was written a long time ago, and yet gossip is still that tasty to the flesh. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19 is the next one. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. And then the last one is in the 26th chapter of Proverbs and verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So the best way for us to be active in stopping gossipers is simply don't give them an audience. That's how we can do our part. Are we going to stamp out gossip among God's people? No, we are not. But can we wisely, lovingly do what we can in the body of Christ where God has placed us? Can we not do what is in the best interest of God's people? Just don't give them an audience. I'm not sure why hearing bad things about others tastes so good to our sinful flesh, but it does. And, you know, we'd be lying if we said otherwise. It does taste good to the sinful flesh, but it's repulsive to the new man. And that's the one we want to yield to. If someone tells you about someone else that is harmful and that's not constructive and is not with the motive of trying to do what's in the best interest of the body of Christ, there are times when you need to hear bad things about people. And when it's told you in a proper way with a proper motivation, that's not gossip. That's not slander. But when it is clear that the only intent here is selfishness by the talebearer or the intent to bring harm, then we simply need to excuse ourselves from that conversation, change the subject or whatever is necessary, but don't give them an audience. If you take away the fuel of a fire, it'll burn out. If people aren't getting the attention that they are seeking by being a talebearer, maybe they'll stop and think, well, maybe there's something else I need to be doing here. Take away the fuel. And hopefully the fire then will die out, at least in your part of the universe. Well, I think we'll stop there tonight. As I said, these things sometimes are considered negative and even legalistic. Why do you talk about those things, about don't do this and don't do that? But saints, when we understand that this is the loving instruction of the will of God, it will save you from so much destruction. It'll save the local assembly from so much destruction, and it will honor God. So I'm glad for this positive instruction of the Word of God. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.